Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up the mountain, and then he sat down and taught them. So in this series of sermons on the Sermon on the Mount, I want to begin each time seated. Remembering how Jesus taught. Though I won't confuse my sermon with what Jesus taught. Not until the Son excludes you do I exclude you. Not till the waters do not glisten for you and the leaves do not rustle for you, do my words not glisten and rustle for you. Walt Whitman, Leaves of Grass. The poem is, the poem within the book Leaves of Grass is called To a Common Prostitute. I was introduced to Walt Whitman in high school English, as probably many others were. My teacher was Barbara Ford. She was the best teacher I ever had. Absolutely, totally awesome. And gave me many gifts of appreciation of literature. And also, we had lots of what can only be called spirited discussions. She always came back at me pretty hard about stuff, and I loved that, to tell you the truth. But we had one encounter on Walt Whitman, which was not a positive encounter, and it went this way. We were talking about Walt Whitman and about Emily Dickinson. Okay, and let me just say, at that time, I lacked an appreciation for Emily Dickinson. And Mrs. Ford loved Emily Dickinson. And so I said something about the superiority of Walt Whitman's poetry to Emily Dickinson's poetry. Now, parenthetically, really stupid comparison, because they've got nothing to do with each other. Totally different. And now I would say I absolutely love Emily Dickinson's poetry. I mean, it's just magnificent. But at that time, I loved Whitman more. And also, probably, I took that position because I knew that in that discussion, Mrs. Ford was for Emily Dickinson. And, you know, so I said something about Walt Whitman, and she said something, and I said something. And then she said, Walt Whitman was a homosexual. And I think I said something like, what is that, you know? Does that make any difference? But I felt completely put down by that. I can remember I was sitting by the windows, and the class was in the library. I was sitting by the windows at a table, and my memory is that my head went down. I was a physical reaction to it. Now, Barbara Ford was wonderful, and to share that memory of her is totally unfair to the totality of her teaching. And yet it was significant. But more than anything else, what stuck in my mind was the significance of Whitman. The importance of his poetry and his work, and I've always loved that line. Not till the Son excludes you, do I exclude you? That's grace. That's the heart of the gospel. And if I were making a new canon, I've talked about this many times, and I think we all should think about that, you know. What would be, if you were constructing the biblical canon today, what would be in it? Well, maybe, let's face it, there's a couple of the biblical books you'd probably leave out. There wouldn't be many votes for Leviticus, I'm just saying, you know. A lot of us would be happy to jettison Revelation. Joshua and Judges. Anyway, so but I think there's also some wonderful stuff that we would want to include. So this piece strikes me, the Walt Whitman piece strikes me because it speaks of that universal love of God. And it speaks to me of this part of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, I need to insert a footnote. I was trying to think, where do I put this? Well, there's no good place to put it. Jesus begins by saying, don't think I've come to abolish the law. I've come to fulfill it, the law of the prophets. And then right after that, which is fascinating, because right after that, he says, I haven't come to abolish, but to fulfill. Then he says, you've heard it said, but I say. And it goes through a series of places where clearly he's taking what's in the law and saying, you've heard this, I want to go in a different direction. What's going on? Well, what's going on is that Jesus is saying the written law endures forever, but the oral law changes, and we interpret it and are supposed to interpret it differently for every generation, and that's what he's doing. He's saying, it all remains, but let me put a different perspective on this. Let me ask you to look at this in a different way. And within all of that, one of the most significant pieces is about love your enemies. My tie, the title of it is, it's a Save the Children tie, and the title of it is Reaching for Love. And if you look at it, there are pictures of the flags of nations on somebody's arm reaching across. And they're specifically designed. So that's an Israeli flag, and I believe that's a Palestinian flag reaching across. But it's talking about every divide. And Jesus is talking about loving across the barriers. This has been a very strange week. I said last Sunday, I quoted Karl Barth's statement that you should go through life with the newspaper in one hand and the New Testament in the other. And then I suggested that when you listen to the State of the Union, you should hold the Sermon on the Mount in one hand as you listen to that. There was a lot that happened this week. And as I listened to the State of the Union, the other thing I thought about was Tuesday was the birthday of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. That would be a Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a great theologian, a fairly good musician. I think he could have easily made a living as a concert pianist. But of course, remembered for us because remembered most for his opposition to Hitler and for being part of founding the Confessing Church, confessing Jesus as Lord and not Hitler. Jesus is the leader. wir haben nur einen Führer. We have one. And I have asked myself, as we go along, at what point do we have to look at what goes on in the country and ask ourselves, is this our Bonhoeffer moment? Now, even to think that makes me wince. And I can't answer that question, but others have. The Bonhoeffer Society has. They've said, yeah, it is that moment. A couple of days ago, a retired bishop, William Boyd Grove, said, yep, this is where we are, and we need to think carefully about what the future looks like. On Thursday, there was the National Prayer Breakfast. Now, I'm not sure the National Prayer Breakfast is a good idea to begin with, believing as I do in the separation of church and state. But at its best, and it's typically been, in many ways, a great event, because what happens is people come together, and Republicans, Democrats, religious leaders, and they sit in a large ballroom, and for an hour or two, they look at what unites them, the commonalities of their faith. And often it is interfaith, not always, that's not always clear. But it's been a place where, you know, Hillary Clinton and George Bush could be together, where Barack Obama and Mitch McConnell and John McCain could be together and be civil and respectful of one another. So the speaker this year was Arthur Brooks, Arthur C. Brooks. Arthur Brooks is a professor at Harvard and teaches in the Kennedy School. And he is a leading conservative, used to be president of the American Enterprise Institute. So my guess is that Arthur Brooks and I probably don't agree on a lot. But a respected writer and thinker and so on. And his most recent book is about loving your enemies. And Brooks has said that he describes himself as a follower of Jesus. And so he talked to the group, the assembled group, about loving your enemies and what that meant and why that was important. So he began by asking the question, how many of you love someone who is a political enemy, who is politically on the other side from you? How many of you love somebody who is politically on the other side? And, of course, the hands went up all around. And I know that's true. I know that's true right here. I know there are husbands and wives. I know there are parents and children. I know there are aunts and uncles, nieces and nephews. Worlds apart on those issues, and probably in many ways torn asunder on those issues, at least in really, really difficult ways. If the folks with whom you have, those whom you love, are in that instance are friends, then maybe you can, you know, it's easier to navigate. But when they're closer, it's difficult. So anyway, the hands went up, and Brooks said, I'm going to count that as 100%. 100% of you love someone who is your political enemy. And then he went on to talk about what we need to do. And he said, first, I see three things. He said, first, if you're a follower of Jesus, you need to act like a follower of Jesus. You need to love the people who are your political enemies. You can't have contempt for them. You need to love them. And you need to ask God to help you do that. You need to act like a follower of Jesus. Second, he said, you need to talk to somebody about this and agree that they will hold you accountable. They will hold you accountable to do what you've said you will do, to actually love the people on the other side of this issue. And then the third thing that you need to do is to look for contempt. To look for those places in yourself and in others where there is contempt and bring instead love. Be, he said, missionaries for loving one another. He said, this is a great mission opportunity to go out and love others. When you leave this place, said Arthur Brooks, when you leave this prayer breakfast, you will enter into a world of contempt. And you'll have an opportunity to be a missionary. Great speech. He also said that the hardest thing is to disagree with your friends. He said, moral courage is not disagreeing with the people on the other side, it's disagreeing with the people who are closer to you. So anyway, Brooks sat down. And shortly after that, Donald Trump stood up. And he said, I don't agree. He disagreed with Jesus. I mean, really, at the National Prayer Breakfast, he disagreed with Jesus about loving your enemies. No, he said. And then, at the National Prayer Breakfast, he mocked Nancy Pelosi for saying that she prays for him. He doesn't believe that. He mocked Mitt Romney for talking about his faith as he cast his vote in the Senate. And he called people names, and even worse than that, and that's very bad, even worse than that, there were in that room politicians and pastors who cheered when he said those things. Really. And I would have hoped, for stunned silence. One would have hoped that that whole room, 1,000 people, something like that, would have just been shocked and unable to say anything at all. We are in very, very, very strange times. And when you listen to the Arthur Brooks message and you listen to the Donald Trump message, it is as if they're on different planets, as if there's no connection whatsoever. It is a huge danger to normalize Mr. Trump's behavior. It's not a case of this side does this, and that side does that. This is not a balanced situation. So the question then becomes, what do we do? Well, I'm going to come back to Arthur Brooks. You, You can find some stuff online, by the way, of course, because you can get everything online. He said, when you encounter contempt, this is your opportunity for moral perfection. This is your opportunity to really exercise your faith by loving through whatever it is. When you see darkness, he said, run toward it and bring the light. Because, he said, when you love someone, when you love someone who has shown contempt, you begin to change the world. You make it a different place. Well, Jesus was talking in a time of occupation. The country was occupied by the Romans. He was speaking in a time when Roman hate, Roman occupation was met by hatred. Of course. And so he wasn't talking abstractly about loving your enemies. It's a vague sense somewhere. I'm not waving with you people, by the way. This is kind of out there. The enemies out there. Just to be careful what I'm doing. Anyway, so when he's talking about enemies, it's not this vague thing. It's really specific about folks out there. I'm sure there's other, you know, there's internecine warfare, you know, but the big issue is the folks that are doing the oppressing, and he's saying, even there, because that love begins to transform the world. In our time of such painful and difficult division, it is important for us to love the people who disagree with us. Not until the Son. Not until the Son.